Praise the Lord. Great to hear those testimonies. I'm so thankful to do that. Good morning. Hello. Good to see you all this morning as you food comas. Thanksgiving. All right. Start. I think we generally start at 10, so we'll start at 10, okay? Happy New Year! Some of you, so perhaps I'll explain what I'm talking about when it's a Happy New Year. Remember a few weeks ago we talked about the church a little different calendar, and this is one of those days where it's a little different. Advent, which begins next week, as we've been alluded to already, which is incredible, or will be, is the beginning of the church year. So Advent begins the church year with the birth of Jesus, which means that today, yes, it is New Year's Eve. Hope you came ready to party. So I figured we should have a countdown for the end of the year and appropriately celebrate that it's a happy church year. It is Christ the King Sunday, which is another one of those liturgical holidays, maybe new for you. Right? Unlike most of history, we don't have a king. We elect presidents, governors, and different things. But that being said, enough common ground of Christ the King Sunday to help us understand why it's important for us to celebrate. Okay. Christ the King Sunday started in the Catholic Church by Pope Pius the 11th and was quickly adopted. And Pope Pius started this because he was deeply concerned that of his churches were more closely aligning and finding the primary ideas, teachings of political factions and nationalism than with the teaching of Jesus Christ. Is that still relevant in America? In addition, it was created during the time of 1925, where there was tremendous uncertainty and unrest in the world, a world living in the aftermath of World War I, recover from a global depression, a global pandemic from the late 1920s. Hope? Is this the end of the world? What's going on? What's happening around us? Is that relevant in America in 2023? Yeah. Relevant. It reminds us that when everything and everyone is fear, panic, controls, lies, hatred, and division, ultimate hope, Jesus, that we are called to live from to transform this world. And we live for Christ alone. So if I had to say today in one sentence, it is this. If Jesus is king, nothing else can be king. If Jesus is king, nothing and no one else to live into that reality. We need to acknowledge presidents, mayors are not kings, trustees are not kings, governors are not kings, not kings. They're all accountable to Jesus Christ. God's kingdom built on earth as it is in heaven. Again, like I said, a message and an idea that if you've been coming over the couple of years, talk behind it. Year in and year out, Advent every year in Lent, and now Christ the King to be reminded that Christ is our King. If Christ is our King, what does that mean for us? How do we live in a way that Christ we're going to pray as we begin? Lord, help us this morning. As many of us, even me, myself, sometimes we hold on to things that are not you. And we make other things. Whether that's an identity, whatever that might be, Lord. And help us this morning to see you as our the one who will have the final say, the one who loves us. Rules and reigns even now. To us this morning, as we learn from you, Holy Spirit, teach us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's begin. And a few different things. 1:9-13. If you can kind of read that, it's okay, it's on there. This is Paul speaking. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord, please him in every way. Fruit in every good work. To his glorious might, patience, his holy people. Of the Son that he. First thing we're going to learn today is living in a new neighborhood. We have a new neighborhood that we are living and dwelling in. Paul begins by giving Colossae a truth about who they are as followers of Christ. And he puts two locations. The dominion of darkness, and you've moved into a new place in the kingdom of light. I love the Message translation on this one, which I can't read, so I'm reading from here. God rescued us from dead end alleys and dark dungeons. He set us up in the kingdom of the Son he loves so much, the Son who got us out of the pit we were in, got rid of the sins we were doomed to keep repeating. If Christ is our King, we have a new neighborhood that we are living in. God has set us up in this kingdom. It is wonderful news. Don't go back to the house that you sold in the dominion of darkness. Stay in the kingdom of Christ, who got you out of that. Is their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things. But here's the good news. Our citizenship is in heaven. We eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so they'll be like his glorious bodies. Second thing we learn, if Christ is King, we have a new citizenship. We have a new citizenship. Our new citizenship, our old citizenship was the dominion of darkness. Our new citizenship is the kingdom of heaven. And we live like the kingdom is here on earth as Christ as our King. Paul is speaking to the people of Philippi in this passage, and they're well-known, respected citizens in Rome. If you were a Philippian citizen, you had great respect around the community. And we are citizens in a kingdom where Christ, not Caesar, is king. And that makes all the difference in the world. So there's a fun website. I don't know if any of you are familiar with it. It's called Passport Index. Has anyone heard of this website before? This is every passport in the world, by the way. Every country that has a passport. Lots of fun colors, right? I like some bright ones, mostly reds and blues. So you can lose hours on this website. Not that I've ever done that, but I do lose hours on this website when I found it. It's information about each country and their passport, which is kind of interesting to me. And so you can click on an individual country, and you can find out more about that country and their passport and what they do in that thing. And you can go to the top right where it says rank, and you can click on that, and it'll give you a ranking of each passport based on their power. And what does that mean? Well, we'll talk about that in a second. So currently, and this changes obviously because the geopolitical complexities of the world change, but currently the UAE, United Arab Emirates, is the most powerful passport in the world, according to this website. You can go to 129 countries visa-free. You can go to 51 countries with a visa on arrival. And you can go to 18 countries if you apply for a visa ahead of time. So there's that. In case you're wondering, the UK, any British fans here? Okay. The UK is tied for number 4 in the world, all right? And the US is tied for number 5. So UK won finally. Great, great job. finally with the win. wow, I know, I'm sorry. I had to throw something in there. So anyway, so you can lose hours looking at this website like I have and just kind of wondering and looking at information, but you can also ask, why is one passport more powerful than the other? What does that even mean? And the answer that we see is access. Because you're a citizen of a certain country, you have more access to other places than the citizen of a different country, and that's how they rank it. Power in citizenship is defined by access. Well, if we are citizens of heaven with a new citizenship, where do we rank on the passport index? If Christ is king, what do we have access to? And Hebrews 4 tells us this. Since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses. We also have one who's been tempted in every way just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. As citizens, we have access to God's throne through Jesus Christ. That is the access that we have as citizens of Christ's kingdom through a king who knows what it's like to be like us, who knows what we wrestle with. Politicians will spend millions of dollars and hundreds of hours trying to convince you that they know what it's like to be you. They do not, because unless you have millions of dollars to spend convincing other people that they know what it's like to be you. But Christ knows. Our King knows what it's like to live in this world. Have you lost a friend? Jesus watched his good friend Lazarus die and he wept. Have you been sick? He has seen sickness and how it affects us. Have you been hurting? Jesus carried the hurt of the world on him. We are citizens of a kingdom whose king knows what it's like to be us. And because of that, he has given us access to come before the throne of the Father who loves us deeply. And of course, if you've ever gone through naturalization process, you know that citizenship comes with responsibility as well. And Christian responsibility is many things, but let me just read from 1 Corinthians 15. Give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. One of our responsibilities as citizens of heaven with Christ is our King, Christ as our King, is that we give ourselves to the work of the King, the work of reconciliation, pointing others to Jesus, working to repair broken relationships with the help of the Holy Spirit, prayerfully seeking freedom from bondage and addiction and pain. Because Christ has pulled us out of the darkness into the light, we must live as citizens of this new kingdom. If we claim to be a follower of Christ, we cannot live as one with dual citizenship. With one foot in the dominion of darkness and one in the kingdom of light. You've moved out of that neighborhood. You have a new address, a new kingdom. And now we exhibit new fruit in our new citizenship. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And just as Paul reminded the believers, let me remind you as well, your citizenship is much greater than the United States. Your allegiance is much greater than a political party. And your hope is much bigger than this next election cycle. You belong to the King of heaven and earth. Live in a manner worthy of your citizenship. And this leads us to our last idea. We have a new neighborhood, a new citizenship, and now we have a new career path, a new career path that we're called to. Let's read from Colossians again, chapter 1, verse 15. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he, Christ, is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from all the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, dwell in Christ. Christ is supreme over all things, whether visible or invisible, and they submit to his rule as king of all. Let me say that clearly. Christ has power. He is not a weak king with a weak kingdom, with a weak population. He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, as we've sung so many times this morning. And because Christ has power, we don't strive for power. We have a powerful king that we can look to and lean on and serve. Scripture consistently warns us about the dangers of acquiring power and aligning with the powers of the world, because that alignment doesn't always align with God's vision. And you're at risk of compromising your faithful witness if you strive for power. Power is not some neutral thing. Power has an effect on people. When people acquire power, some sort of earthly power, they leverage to keep that power for their own gain. And the story of us as people, as Scripture tells us, that sin came in the world and affected the good creation of God. And sin affects everything, our relationships with each other, with creation, with the earth. Sin affects us so much that we worry about covering our own butts with any sort of power that we can get to escape and elude accountability for our actions, as we see all around. We create systems and structures to keep ourselves in power at the cost of hurting others. So often power is exploited for evil. But here comes the words of Paul in Colossians, that ultimate power wrapped in love looks like this, that Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. In him, all things were created. If we want to know what our Father is like, what does he do, what is he about, we have that answer. Look at Jesus. He's the perfect representation, the perfect one who is a representation of the Father. He's the image of God, the exact representation of our Father in heaven. If we want to know the heart of our Father, look to the Son, who is Jesus. All things were created and hold together in him. And what does all things mean? Things on heaven and earth, both visible and invisible. So heaven, earth, visible, invisible, that about covers it, right? That's everything. That includes nations and empires, includes the spiritual forces of heaven and earth, includes evil and destructive rulers, includes all those who hold power over others. All things in Jesus hold together and are brought to account before Jesus himself. All things are answerable to Christ alone. Or, again, as the Message translation says, he was there before any of these things ever came into existence, and he holds all these things in existence by his power. Praise the Lord. That's good news. And then Paul says, the same Jesus in whom all things were made and holds this tremendous power is the head of the church. The same Jesus that in his power would seem so far away, John 1 tells us he took on flesh and he moved into the neighborhood. He touched the sick. He ate with sinners. He healed the lame. He transformed lives. The same Jesus who was there when all of this came into existence knows your name. He knows your struggles. He knows your hurts. And he pours out his deep love on you. The same Jesus in whom all things hold together comes to sit with you as a friend, to bear your burdens, to carry your weight, to share in your suffering, and to give you new life. That's good news, church, on Christ the King Sunday. Therefore, because of all of this, our new career path is not to move up the social ladder or to acquire more power or more money or more comfort. We serve the God of all power. So we have a new career, a new calling. 1 Peter 2:9, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you might declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. As new citizens in a new neighborhood, you have a new career path, that whatever you do, whether in word and deed, declare the praises of him who called you out of that dominion of darkness and into his wonderful light. So on Christ the King Sunday, we remember these three things, that we have a new citizenship, a new neighborhood, and a new career path, and Christ is the King of Kings over us. With that all said, let me close with this verse from Romans. It's all right there. Okay, and here's the verse, Romans 1:16. I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. It's not us who hold the power. It is found in the gospel that Christ took upon himself the sins of the world, died on the cross, and was raised back to life 3 days later. And now this gospel message comes to set the captives free. And he has chosen us, the subjects of his kingdom, for this mighty work. So, if this is the end of the year, as we say it is, and next year is a new year, how are you ending your liturgical year? How are you coming into the new year, the 2023 Advent season, which starts tomorrow, next week? Next week, you'll come in. Our sanctuary will look very different, Lord willing. We'll have Advent decorations up, and we'll have the Advent candle up, and we'll have the tree up, and those banners hanging up there. Things will look different. It'll be different. It'll be exciting. How are you coming in to the new year? Maybe excited and full of joy because it's been a wonderful year. Maybe anxious, uncertain. A lot of questions still raging in you about your faith and about Jesus that you are wondering. Maybe life has thrown you a curveball in 2023, and you're ending this year unsure of what you're feeling just quite yet. Maybe you're coming in with your hair on fire, and you can't believe that it's December, right? It's like, wow, it's already December, However you come into this Advent season, it is okay. Jesus has been there. He is full of joy, anxiety, even had his hair on fire with the craziness of the world. 4 weeks, that's all Advent is. 4 Sundays, 4 opportunities to come and pause and remember in this new year that Christ came to us as we are. So I encourage all you watching online, all you who are here, come every week to our Advent services. Come as you are. Christ came to us as he was, lowly, born in a manger. So let us come and gather together this Advent season as we end this year and begin a new one next week and celebrate the day the King came to take his throne among us. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you are King Jesus, that when things seem to be falling apart, when things seem to be hurting, when we see anger and frustration and rage and jealousy and biting, help us, Lord, to look to you. Help us, Lord, to point others to you. To remember that you are over all things and all things in you hold together. That you were there at the beginning, you are here now, and you will continue to be here among us. Lord Jesus, as we finish this year and enter into Advent, as we prepare for your coming, as we wait and celebrate and remember your arrival, whatever we're bringing at the end of this year, we bring it to you, Lord. Forgive us of our shame, of the things that we hold on to. Help us to let those go and to come expectantly into this new season of Advent as we await you, the King who came to live for us and walk with us and die for us, that we may have life and life abundant. We thank you and we love you in your name. Amen.